There was a man who was always worrying. He was worried about everything. He was worried about his children, his family, his job, his health, his finances, everything. And one day, his friend noticed that something quite unusual about him. He was very calm and he was very peaceful. And so he asked his friend, "Why are you so calm all of a sudden? You used to be worried about everything. What happened?" And the man who worried all the time said, "Well, you know what? I hired somebody to do all of the worrying for me." He said, "Wow," he said, "that's amazing. How much are you paying that person?" And he said, "Well, I'm paying him $1,000 a week." And his friend said, "You can't afford $1,000 a week." He said, "Yeah, I know, but that's his problem, not mine." You see, we joke about worrying a little bit, but the truth is, there's nothing really funny about worry. Every day right now, at least one person tells me that they are filled with fear, that their anxiety levels are spinning out of control, that they are going crazy being stuck at home. They are, some of those people are essential workers, and they live in fear. Fear that they will become ill, or even greater, the fear that they will bring an illness home to their loved ones. The list of concerns goes on and on, because there are those that are unable to work and are concerned about being able to meet their financial obligations as well. Let's face it, we are people who worry. And we're often good at imagining the very worst. So today we are rejoining in our sermon series entitled Certainty in Times of Uncertainty. We took a break these past 2 weeks. We had been, obviously it was Palm Sunday, it was Easter, but there are some messages in this series that are available, and if you look at the screen, you can see some of the ways that you can connect with them if you have any interest in going back and listening to them. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself between a rock and a hard place? How about wanting everything to open back up and go to back to normal, whatever that is, but at the same time being fearful of a resurgence in the rise of COVID-19 cases? Or perhaps wanting to be set free from quarantine, but not wanting to risk illness or spreading disease. Those, compared to what the Apostle Paul was experiencing, those may seem very trivial right now. Because you see, when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, which is where our text is going to be this morning, he was in prison. And he was in prison because he was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He was between a rock and a hard place. He wanted to be free. He wanted to preach the gospel. But if he gained freedom, if he was released from prison, he very likely would face martyrdom. And so he penned the words during that time that I am going to read for us. They are available on the screen for you to follow along. But this is from Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. And he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. My friends, we can live with certainty even in times of uncertainty. And although we know that we are a people who worry, when someone says, stop worrying, that's likely not enough. It's likely not enough because that's who we are. Now, Jesus himself talked about worry. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he is quoted as saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So this morning, I want to share three truths that I believe we can use that will be beneficial for us to overcome worry. You ready? Truth number one. Truth number one says we can overcome worry when we rejoice in God's faithfulness. We can overcome worry when we rejoice in God's faithfulness. In the first verse that I read in this text, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says this, I will say it again, rejoice. So oftentimes when we want someone to really get what we're saying, we repeat ourselves. Think about that. Those of you that are parents, you may say something to your children and you may repeat it because you want to make sure that they get it. Danette, when I am on my cell phone scrolling away, Danette will often say something to me and then she'll repeat it just to make sure I wasn't busy scrolling and not paying attention. But when it comes to our children and we try to tell them something, in order to get their attention, we repeat it. And sometimes we even use their middle name because that helps them to perk up their ears because they know we better listen then, right? So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Does it seem strange to you that a man who is in prison is telling us to rejoice? You see, normally, when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, rejoicing is not usually the way that we behave. We usually become very frazzled and anxious. We become angry and upset. Sometimes we, even as we're angry, we feel that we're being treated unfairly, and it goes on and on. Sometimes we are filled with self-pity. But let's face it, rejoicing is not our normal reaction to problems and difficulty. Often, our reaction is to worry. Let me share a few statistics with you. The average person and what they worry about. They worry about 40% of the things that they worry about will never happen at all. 30% of the things that they are concerned about and worry about are things that occurred in the past that they can't even begin to change. 12% of the things that people worry about is the criticism of others, and in most cases, that is untrue. 10% of what people worry about is their health, and we know that worry and stress deteriorates health and does not improve it. And only 8% of what we are worried about are actual problems that we may actually face. But no matter what we worry about, today, Paul the Apostle is letting us in on a secret. And he says, it is possible to rejoice always in all circumstances. Now, in order for us to comprehend that and think that that's possible, we need to understand that rejoicing is not because we are problem-free. Instead, our rejoicing is in the Lord. Our rejoicing is in a God who is always faithful. Our rejoicing comes because we can trust God in every circumstances. And Paul says, let your gentleness then be known to all. And what that means is to be relaxed, to have an easygoing attitude. Now, you're going to say, man, that preacher's crazy. How can I be worried about so many things and rejoice and have a relaxed attitude? Well, the answer is this. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. We know that God is in control of all things. We know that God is always faithful and we can always trust Him. And when He says, there's no need to worry, then there's no need to worry. He says, remember, the Lord is near. You see, when we know Christ as our Savior, we have confidence that He is present with us in our day-to-day lives. There's no promise that says, if you know Jesus as Savior, you won't have problems, because we do. But the Bible also tells us that when we have problems, the Lord is always near. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That is God talking. That is God speaking. He is never going to fail us. He is never going to abandon us. We may have been disappointed by other people in life. We may have been let down, rejected, abandoned. But God will never reject us. He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. And as we face problems and difficulties, just like everyone else, because we have Christ as our Savior, we are never alone. In Isaiah 41:10, it says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so, my friends, we do not need to worry. We can overcome worry. And we do so because God is faithful. And we can rejoice in His faithfulness. And we can always trust Him in every circumstance. The second truth this morning is this. We can overcome worry when we pray about everything. Let me read verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He says, don't be anxious. Instead, pray about everything. Now, sometimes I think we get the idea that God is only interested in the big things. You know, the day-to-day things that we face and we need some help and direction, we make our own decisions. But then when something really big comes along, then we want to call on God and we want God to come. The other thing that we're sometimes guilty of is we do everything our own way according to our own plan. And then when that fails, then we call out to God. But if we want to be free of worry, if we want to experience a peace in our lives, we need to pray, it says, about everything. Know this, God is never too busy. He is never disinterested in our lives. He says in His Word, pray about everything. My friends, that includes the big things and the small things. Peter says in 1 Peter Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You can barely go on Facebook today and scroll just a little bit, and you'll see somebody that is talking about their anxiety. The solution to that is to take all of our problems and concerns and give them to God because He cares for us. We need to understand this. If it's a problem that is big enough to worry about, it is also big enough to pray about. Paul says, pray about everything. So if we want to worry less, then the solution is that we pray more. We kind of have been forced, if you will, to put the pause button on in our lives. We're on pause. And what better thing for us to do than to develop a deeper prayer life? Instead of complaining, instead of worrying, cast our anxiety on God because He cares for us. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me not from all of my problems, but from all of my fears. You see, when we feel like everything is spinning out of control, we need to pray. And here's what happens when we do. In verse 7, it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is actually a military term. It's like an armed guard. You know, today we see armed guards in many places. But let's take, for example, you go to a bank, and most banks have an armed guard on duty. They're there. Why are they there? They are guarding the entrance of that bank. In the same way, God's peace is like an armed guard, and it protects or guards the entrance of our hearts and minds. You see, friends, when we pray about everything, when we give all of our concerns to God, when we tell God, Lord, I am scared, I am filled with fear, He gives us His supernatural peace. And His peace is not dependent on everything going right. His peace is very different. The peace that we have from God could be described as a quiet contentment. A quiet contentment that we can experience even in the midst of trials and difficulties. The Bible describes it as supernatural, unexplainable peace. And He says that when we pray about everything, that peace will guard our hearts and guard our minds. That peace guards our minds from running wild. His supernatural peace prevents us from fearing the worst. His supernatural peace surpasses all human logic. We don't have to worry about anything. Instead, we can pray about everything. And as we do, we can overcome worry. And then truth 3. We can overcome worry when we control our thoughts. When we control our thoughts. In verses 8 and 9, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, the truth is, we need to guard our thoughts. We need to be careful about what we are putting into our minds. We can fill our minds with doom and gloom. And guess what? Our worry will skyrocket if that's what we do. But we're to fill our minds, he says, with things that are positive, not negative. He describes a list of things. He says, whatever is true, meaning truth, speaking truth, reading God's word, which is truth. Whatever is noble, meaning honorable and good. Whatever is right, meaning faultless. Whatever is pure, meaning innocent or clean. Whatever is lovely, meaning acceptable or pleasing. Whatever is admirable, meaning of a good report. Whatever is respectful. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, meaning good or commendable. Those are the things that we need to be putting into our minds. He says, think on these things. Fill your mind with these kinds of things. Right about now, you're probably thinking, well, what is so positive that I can be thinking about when it comes to quarantine and COVID-19? While COVID-19 can be fatal, most often it is, for the vast majority of people, it is something that we can recover from. Following the national and state guidelines, along with the guidelines of the CDC, there has been a significant reduction in mortality rates that were projected. But let's bring it to a more personal level. How can we see our current circumstances in a more positive light? Well, let me say this. For some families, because we had to hit the pause button, all of a sudden, families, parents and children, are sitting around a table every evening and enjoying a meal together, when normally it would be grab and go. For some families, because we can't fill our lives with all kinds of busyness, there is an opportunity to spend quality time together. For some parents, it's an opportunity to find out what their children are learning or how their children really do behave in school. For all of us, it's a time to be more aware of the blessings. Maybe to stop taking things for granted, like the ability to worship in a live church service, or the ability to hug someone or shake hands, the ability to shop in a fully stocked grocery store. You know, while there are many negatives, there are some good things that are coming out of all this. And my friends, we need to choose to fill our minds with the good things. As we do, we can reduce or eliminate worry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have the power to overcome negative doom and gloom thinking. We need to take every thought and make it captive, meaning we need to line up our thinking with what the Word of God says. We need to eliminate the stinking thinking that some of us allow ourselves to have. We need to align our thoughts with what God says. There is a story about a hummingbird and a vulture, and they are both flying over the desert. As the vulture is flying, soaring there above the desert, he's looking for rotting carcasses. He's looking for food because that's what he looks for and that's what he eats. Now, the hummingbird is ignoring the smell of rotting flesh. Instead, that hummingbird is looking for the sweet nectar in one of the desert blossoms. The vulture fills his belly with rotted things. The hummingbird fills its belly with sweet things. The point is this. Each bird feeds on what it's looking for. And so do we. If we are going to experience peace, if we are going to reduce worry in our lives, we must take control of our thoughts. And we need to focus on the right things. We need to stop stinking thinking and fill our minds with the sweet things of God. And as we do, we can overcome worry. We can live in certainty in times of uncertainty when we stop worrying and we begin to trust God. He says, rejoice. We can rejoice because God is in control and God is always faithful. We can overcome worry when we pray about everything. We can overcome worry when we control our thoughts. So, we don't need to hire somebody to do the worrying for us. We have a God who has shown us how to overcome worry, how to live in certainty, even in times where things are uncertain. So, in closing, here's the question. Which of these truths could help you to deal with uncertainty? Rejoice and focus on God's faithfulness. Pray about everything. Take all of your cares and worries and give them to God. And control your heart and your mind, what you're thinking about. Control your thoughts. Think on those things that are good and excellent and praiseworthy. Let's pray. Our Father, we are always grateful for your word. It is so relevant to our lives, and certainly these words that were penned by the Apostle Paul, even while he was in prison, are very relevant for us today. We do worry. We worry about many things. We may even worry about worry. But you have shown us a way that we can reduce that worry as we trust in you. And you have shown us that as we do this, your peace that is beyond all human logic, will fill our hearts and minds. We thank you for that truth today. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.